All right, welcome everybody. We're going to have a special treat today. I was thinking there a while back, it's kind of dangerous to do, I know, but I thought how much fun it would be to have a panel about fathers and kind of get some father advice. That's the name of our sermon today, and these guys kind of dropped on my heart. I kind of wanted people from different backgrounds. Christian here is a new father. Steve's an old, no, he's younger than me, I think, but he's a father as well as a grandfather. And then Jimmy here, he's a father and a grandfather, but also he grew up without a dad. Yeah. So I kind of wanted three different perspectives of kind of what's going on there. So we're going to go ahead and start. A statistic that my daughter Kaylee shared with me, that 17% of families get saved if the mom gets saved first, while 93% of families get saved if the dad gets saved first. So we see the importance of a father being able to speak into the kids' life, and we're going to look at that today, the importance of having the father. Now, it's nothing, you know, Mother's Day was last month, so don't misunderstand all we're saying about this, but today we want to talk about fathers and how important it is. To me, headship in the family has been delegated to man, but he needs to be a certain kind of man. He needs to practice servant leadership, sacrificial leadership, and stable leadership, as well as spiritual leadership. And that's probably what's lacking a lot in our culture today. We're not going to talk about this subject. I think it would be good in the future to do this. But, you know, there's a lot of dads through divorce or whatever happened don't get to be with their kids. And I think that would be a good thing to discuss, because I couldn't imagine what it's like, you know, not to be able to have your kids around all the time. So I think that'd be a good one. And I know each of us fathers, how we feel about our children for the most part. I mean, every now and then. There is days, right? But anyway, so I just want to say, I'm just open with a couple comments, then we'll get to the questions. But, you know, sometimes we lead our children to church, and other times we drag our children to church. Either way, it's important that we get them to a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
And see, that's the key. I never really got saved until I was 24. I had church a little bit as a kid. I know Christian, he was raised in our church. You was in diaper or out of diapers, I think, when you guys started coming. Maybe I can't remember. I know I never changed any of your diapers.
Six or seven.
Yeah. Yeah, six or seven, yeah. I know I never changed any of your diapers in the church. I did nursery duty a little bit sometimes, and I don't think I ever changed his diaper, praise God. But anyway, I have had to change a couple. You know, I haven't had any, I'm not a grandparent yet, so I haven't had to change any for a long time. They kind of kicked me out of that area, so. But to me, Christianity is only going to be as strong as the next generation. And I think we of this generation need to really take it seriously what kind of world that we're leaving and the importance of being able to train up, you know, young people to be able to lead. I'm going to have each person go around and introduce themselves and maybe share a little bit how old your kid is, if you remember. I had to ask for buying a minute ago. I forgot, just for sure. But anyway, start with you, Christian.
Yeah, so I'm Christian Summers, and I got a four-year-old girl named Eden Rose Summers. And I just think it's being a father is a lot harder than what I thought it was going to be. Just trying to balance your work, just a normal activity of life, and then being a father at home. And the biggest thing is remembering that it is all about Christ, and it's all about God. And sometimes we tend to take our mind off of it and get stuck in this worldview, hey, we need to get going to this next thing in life, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, it's all about the cross. It's all about God and bringing that vision to them and getting them to understand it. Because if it doesn't start in the house and with the fathers and with the parents, they ain't going to learn at school. And if you're not taking them to church, they ain't going to learn at church because they're not at church. So it all starts in the house and being able to be there for them and learn them in the ways of the Lord. So, and I think that's the biggest thing is, man, try not to get angry about spilled milk, because there's many little things in life, especially when after a long day of work, you're tired, maybe you don't want to, you know, take the time. But if you don't take that time and spend the time with the child, they're going to be, even though you have a father in the house, living having a fatherless house with a father in there.
Yeah.
So you just got to be able to, that sacrificial love that Christ gave on the cross, have that same sacrificial love, no matter how hard it is, how big of a long of a day you had, taking the time and having fun with the kid. So,
amen.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, that is inspiring. You make me happy because you can see a generation that truly grew up in the church and the things he's saying. Some of us.
And full disclosure, Jimmy is Christian's uncle.
I'm his uncle. Yes.
Yeah. He's bragging him up a little bit there. Yeah.
But he deserves it honestly because it did. Yeah. I mean, Brother Jason brought him to church, you know, and started the roots, and you see where the importance of getting those roots started right away. It's like a plant, anything, you know, you start them right away, they grow into this, and I'm very, very proud of you, you know, and job well done. And parenting is hard, but the reward is so amazing. Now I look back as my kids are older. So I'm Jimmy Summers, Christian's uncle. I have two children. Austin's 27, my baby girl is 29. We started early. Don't suggest that, but it all worked out, so praise God. I have grandbabies. Yes, I have grandbabies. One turned 8, and one's going to be turning 6 the 29th of this month. I just thank God every day. Everything Christian said is we could ditto that all around. I praise God that my grandbabies are in the church, and they started when they're babies. So things I look as a father, maybe I did do some things right, even though I know I messed a lot of things up. But my baby girl, my daughter, having grandbabies, I got her baby girls starting their roots. And I'm telling you, that's where it's all at. Get them roots deep. Because I'm telling you, the storms come. Like Brother Jason said one time with the corn stalk, I couldn't quite get it. And Jason always talks this kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, it's like a corn stalk. I said, what about a corn stalk? He said, if them roots get really deep, they can take that wind. They can blow all the way over. And then they'll bounce back up. I thought, there's no way. I seen it. It's real. So it's the roots. Right here is an example. The roots are deep. And I guarantee Christian probably has storms in your life. It happens, but you bounce back up. So praise God. Thank you for inviting us, and thank you so much.
Can I just get that one?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Steve?
So I'm Steve Shaw, and my wife Shelley's sitting right back there, but we're new to the congregation, so appreciate the opportunity to get up here, but actually, I'm 58, so I am a little younger than Brad, so not too much, but a little bit. But I got my notes because as being a little bit older, and we just had 3 new grandchildren this year, so I got to write down the names just to remember them. It's like, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. So, especially today, the kids, man, they don't have a normal name.
Yeah.
They pick all these names out that, you know, it's like, it's hard for me to remember, so. But we had 4 children. We had 2 children and then had a span of 5 years, and then we had 2 more. So the younger 2, I think, were blessed because we learned a lot and matured a lot between those 5 years. We were in the church. We were growing as Christians. And I think the older 2 always say the younger 2 had it a lot easier than they did, and I think that was true. So if you're maturing in your faith, like we did, it was a blessing to have those younger 2. We were contemplating not having them. We never really planned anything. It's just, we just did it. And to your point, Jimmy, on, hey, you started young.
I did.
I think a lot of kids today, as a parent, as a father, I'm more concerned about them having the right person that God has for them and having to get married. I don't care if they're a little younger. I don't care if they're through college yet or not. Those were when our kids got married fairly young too. It was like God had the right person for them. They spent enough time with them to truly know them, and they all go through, like you were saying, hard times. All of us go through hard times. But if you have the right person and they're a Christian, get married.
Amen.
Start your lives
Thank
together.
You, Jesus. Thank you.
It's like Shelley and I. We were 21, which back then that was fairly early, actually. Yeah. But it was a blessing that I was able to spend those early years married with her, and it really helped us to mature.
Amen.
But we have 7 grandchildren, and Lily and Liam, who are actually with us here today. again, their mom and dad got married early, so they were the oldest two by far. And we were still maturing even as grandparents, right? We were maturing as parents, but then we had to mature as grandparents. I'm going, am I old enough to be a grandpa yet? Mm-hmm. I don't feel or look like a grandpa, do I? Yeah, you do, but yeah. No. But it's excited to just talk about fatherhood and how we emphasize the Lord in our family and how maybe we can give you some ideas of what we looked at and what we dealt with. Amen. And thanks.
Amen. Jimmy, I want you to elaborate first on you grew up without a father in the home and how that maybe changed your perspective when you became a father. Because you didn't, I know you had a lot of role models, like Uncle Hank and
yes.
different ones.
Yes.
And,
yeah. When you
text me, call me that morning, really didn't want to go back to that.
But it's all got healed.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's a praise God moment, you know. Yeah. It's not having a dad, we all want a daddy, teach you how to throw a ball. Yeah, just the things you think dads are going to do. But yes, I had some great mentors. So being a daddy and being a father can come from many different directions. But I want to thank God and give praise to my dad right now, because we all got a story, and my dad had a story, and I didn't know it. So I don't know why he was the way he was as a father, I thank God for my grandpa, took a dad role on for me, and a big man who was big me back then, and big barrel chest man, strong, loving, caring, and was our father role. And then Uncle Hank kind of took on a role of more stern and going to teach us, you got to be tough, and we needed that too. So I thank God for those people in my life. And honestly, and then when I started coming to church, looking up to other people, and I won't say a bunch of names, but just the men in this church that I admired, and I watched them not just preach it and talk it. There were men that were living it, and they were great with their children, and I just seen that structure, and I wanted that. And my mom, God bless her, because raising three boys together a year apart, I don't know how she did that, but a year apart, she done wonderful. Yeah, we got a couple switchings every once in a while. We needed it. But without a dad, it's tough. We all want a dad. But I'm going to challenge dads right now. Or men. Let's do this. Men right now. Because I figured something out. It took me a while. I'm 49 going on 50. Step up. Just step up, please. You see a little kid or whatever, man, just be a godly man figure. And that's what it's all about. But back to my father. It was tough. It really was. I wanted my daddy there all the time. And I think I wanted the discipline a father gives,
See, it took you a little while to come to this conclusion. So can you give any shortcut for somebody maybe in that situation now that might help them to come to that realization of how to get past some of that hurt?
Well, here's the deal. It took years. So I had a lot of anger towards my father, even though I loved him. I've always been taught, even my grandpa, my grandma, my mom, you love your father regardless. You just love your daddy. That's what you're going to do. And so I always loved him, but I didn't like the things that happened and stuff. But it was God. I'm telling you, man, I witnessed a miracle. In my Bible in 2007, and you can look at back of my Bible, Denise, I was here, Denise, we were doing prayer night, and write it down and just pray on it. And I prayed for years, 07, that my dad would walk these doors and come to church one time with me. And I just kept holding true to that. I still had a lot of anger, but I love my daddy. And then my daddy got sick. And it's one of the best things that happened to my dad. Sounds crazy. but he got knocked down, and my dad was a tough old man. Anybody know I'm telling tough dad? And he got knocked down. And so the last 2 years of my dad's life, I held true to my prayer, and I seen a miracle. I carried my daddy to the grave. Boom. Job well done, Dad, because he gave his life to Christ. And that's when I said, it's all right, Daddy, I love you. And I just never lost hope of that. I'm going to tell you one story, and it's kind of personal. I went to visit my daddy, and all I ever wanted to hear as a little boy is, man, I love you. It's all I wanted to hear is, I love you. And I went to visit him, and this is just prior to him passing. My wife was waiting in the car for me, and I went upstairs to visit with him and had a great talk. I mean, my dad was really an awesome dude. I'm really telling you, awesome. But I got a chance to finally visit with my dad the last 2 years of his life, and went to leave, and I said, I love you, Daddy. And I give him a big old hug, give him a kiss. My daddy always smelled good. He had like Brute or something on that old smell. I love that smell.
Old Spice.
And Old Spice as well. It's Old Spice. And so I leave, and he, yep. That's all he said, yep. And I walk out the door, and I'm telling you, I'm heading to the elevator at Benton Place. And I'm heartbroken, I'm mad, I'm sad, and I'm just furious. Why can't my daddy say he loves me? I hear, hey. Oh, I remember that voice. I turn around and made eye contact with my dad. I love you, son. And I ran back, and I'm telling you, that is a miracle. So don't you lose hope. You pray, and you pray, and you pray, and God will answer. I'm telling you, man, I see the miracle. I witnessed a miracle, and I thank God every day. Even though it wasn't my life then, it's all right. God taught me something. It's changed me as a dad. It gave me an opportunity to be a better dad, I believe. I'm sorry I had to go through that. I had a lot of anger, but I've overcome that. I took a class with Pastor, the one class we just took, you know, the
freedom
class, and it broke some chains because I was chained down. I was so angry. Man, now I feel good. Even though I got some tears of joy, that I've learned a lot. Be a daddy. We're going to make some mistakes. Things are going to happen. Love, and make sure you tell your babies you love them. And remember, we're only a phone call and a text away. And you know what's even better, guys? Have you ever received a piece of mail recently? It's got a stamp on it. They put these stamps on these things. You put them in the mail, and you get them, and you can actually see somebody took the time to handwrite it. Just challenge you.
Yeah.
It's love. So thank you for sharing. Amen. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Amen. Words are important. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Is there anything that you guys feel you might would like a do-over on? Anybody? Or is that too personal? You got the mic, Christian. Christian's only been at it 3 or 4 years, so I don't. Maybe ain't made no mistakes yet. I don't know.
I guess not drinking her Gatorade last night.
Yeah, that might have done it. Yeah.
No. But no, I just the little things. Just taking the time to just go and just play with her whenever I get a chance.
Yeah.
Instead of coming home from work just being tired and say, yeah, you know what? Just gonna sit on the couch and she's over there having a tea party and just need to get up. Go over there, do that, or just stepping up and I don't know, just being more spiritual, influential with her.
Yeah.
I think gotta find the time to do that at home. So I don't know if she's too young enough to be like devotional yet, but at least having worship music on in the background and having prayer time. I always pray with her every night before she goes to sleep, or at least try to. Usually get it done most of the time, but that's just 5 minutes out of a day. Get the whole, just need to get a time to where spend an hour and just pray, read a little scripture, and just meditate on it with her.
Amen.
So that's my goal for this year.
Amen. Anybody else?
I don't know if I necessarily have something that I'm sure there's definitely things in my life that I'd want to redo, but I can't think of anything specific right now. But one thing I see with my dad and my father-in-law, who's passed away this past year, was love covers over a multitude of sins, the Bible says. And how I look at that is my dad, he was a rough cookie, just like a lot of guys are. But he loved the Lord, and he had a, his background was pretty rough. So he, we never know what the background is in a lot of people's lives. But he had a rough background, and he was a rough guy. But he had a lot of love. God had filled him full of love, and he wasn't afraid to say he loved you. He wasn't afraid to say he was sorry. And he wasn't really afraid to say I was wrong. He didn't say I was wrong too often, but he definitely wasn't afraid to say he was sorry. But I guess that's the thing I would encourage. I think my father-in-law struggled. He did all the things that showed love to his family, but he never told them he loved them. And that, for some reason, that word, it means so much. You know, as much as they show you, as much as they do, make sure you tell them Amen. That you love them.
Amen. Yeah.
And those words mean a lot, but my dad, being as rough as he was, he did a lot of things that, I don't want to say he was hypocritical, but he just had struggles like all of us do. But yeah, he. I remember as a kid, he did some things, and we were just little guys then. And we went in his bedroom at night, man, and he was crying, you know, and he said, I love you guys, I'm sorry, you know. And when you can remember that, like Amen. When it was 50 plus years ago, it makes you hopefully do the same, realize how important that is and do the same to your children. So I was pretty aggressive, pretty rough around my, especially my oldest two kids. And like I said, I matured, but I did say I was sorry. I did say I loved you, and they knew it. And I prayed with them, and I definitely didn't want to be a hypocrite, but we all struggle and we all fall short. So that's when the forgiveness side and that part of the love comes in. So I think my kids really knew I loved them. So
Amen.
That's kind of
I think
fun.
Showing that vulnerability is a big plus for a father. I mean, you don't tell your kids all your mistakes, but I mean, just showing them that it's okay to make a mistake, it's okay to say sorry, and of course, to forgive.
Yes.
And that's very important. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
A scripture I wanted to share, and I think this kind of resonates with a lot of fathers. It says, fathers in Ephesians 6, verse 4. I'm going to read from the Message translation. It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. And I think sometimes us fathers can be a little harsh. I mean, I know I was. There's some regrets I have, especially coaching and things like that. I've had it to do over. I'd probably never coach my kids. I mean, that's just what I learned through life. It's better to, I'd rather coach somebody else's kids rather than my own. I think things would have been a lot better, but we got everything all fixed up by now. My kids are 31, I guess, 20, how old are you, 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, 26 and 24. Christian's birthday is tomorrow, so don't forget to wish him happy birthday. So, but what I see from this scripture, that fathers need to take them by the hand, and that shows connection. Then it all says to lead them in a way, and that shows them direction. So if fathers can learn how to give connection and direction to their kids, because sometimes we have a tendency, it says here to exasperate. That means make them mad. And I think all of us here, have you ever ticked your kids off? I mean, I don't know. I know I have. And maybe I know a lot of it because I came down on them hard. So do you think us dads can overreact sometimes? And I think what I feel is the fact that I think the problem is that we don't see maybe interactions with our kids as being more important than our interactions at work. Because maybe things, you know, we're solving big problems during the day, you know, a lot of times at work, you know. And then we come home and our kid had this, what we consider an insignificant, piddly little problem. Why is that bothering you? It's so insignificant. You know, we get frustrated, but yet we need to see it from their eyes and not overreact. So how, do you guys have any things that might help in that area about overreacting and what you've learned, how to maybe not do that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is when that situation happens, and it's hard to
always prevent that, even though it's, you know, it's just things happen, circumstances during the day, and you know, I have many examples my kids could tell you about, but one thing I did learn in that moment when I maybe went a little too far or whatever is that is to say you're sorry and to explain to them, you know, and that helped out tremendously. And But I tell you the truth, if it wasn't for me knowing the Lord, I probably wouldn't react the way I reacted. I'm just being honest with you, because the thing I look at now is like our Heavenly Father, no matter what we do, there's nothing that He will not, He literally picks us up, brushes us off, get going, little buddy, you know. And so, yeah, I've come a long ways, and I thank God for being here and involved in church to help train me to be better at that when the moments come on, because it's life.
Yeah,
the world's always hard. You go out there, we're being attacked. Even as parents and fathers, you know, you can't be too hard. You can't be this. Well, sometimes the discipline needs to be, or sometimes that overreaction. I mean, I'm serious about the situation. You go through it. You explain to them. But I've done a lot of apologies, and I think as men, sometimes it was hard for me. I matter of fact, one of my mentors, and God rest his soul, he wanted to be with the Lord. He was a deacon, and I explained the situation to him. He says, I want you to go home right now. I'm at work. He said, I want you to go home right now, and you're going to say you're sorry. And his advice was the best advice I ever got. I went home, and I cried and hugged my baby, and I said, I'm so sorry. I overreacted, and I do apologize. And it was with a sport, and it was, you know, just you get involved in all those things. So, you know, things happen, but it's how we handle them that they see, and I hope that passes on to a good for them to know, hey, things happen, but handle it that direction.
Anything else?
Yeah, I would just say that that's one of the things I feel like when you talk about men being men, I think they've allowed maybe they put themselves in a position that they don't do the disciplining anymore. They might have outrage, they might have reactions that aren't right and stuff like that, but they really don't do godly discipline. So I know my discipline hasn't always been the best, and those are the things I need to say I'm sorry for, but godly discipline is, I put a note on here, I says, what can you achieve without it? I mean, if you don't have discipline, if you don't, God says we need self-control, that's a fruit of the Spirit, we need to guard our hearts.
Yes.
All those things take discipline, and I think that's what the fathers today I see struggling with. They're trying to take that manly position away from, or the men just have given it up because they don't want to be the discipline type person. But I think as fathers and grandfathers, and there's definitely a separation there, but we need to be able to have godly discipline, and that is doing it in the right way, doing it with the right motivation. And if we don't show our kids that there's punishment for sin, how are they going to realize what Jesus did for them?
That's right.
And if they're doing things that they're not supposed to, and there's not punishment for it, if there's not discipline for it, and each kid's different. I think my wife does a really good job. And I don't think I neglected the discipline in my family, but she was a big part of that too. But basically, one kid needed a spanking. So if you don't believe in spankings, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. But I also know that that's not for every kid. We had one kid, you could spank him all day, and he'd get madder and madder, and the situation would get worse. You stuck him in a corner, and then that worked for him. So, but it was more about trying to find out how you reach those kids and what's your motivation for reaching them. You know, you want him to be a godly man, so he needs to understand the boundaries that God sets for us. So I think the discipline part, to me, is an area that we need to really make sure we're trying to be godly about it, where our motivation's right, you know, not out of anger. Because I think, you know, it's easy to get angry and then react. I mean, I've done that, and that was a part of my family. I mean, back then, I think more dads were like that. You know, they'd get angry and they'd react, and you'd lose the, you know, really the why, a part of the discipline. Why are you being disciplined? Dad's just mad. He's upset.
Yeah.
But that's my thought on that, I guess.
And that kind of ties in. To me, dads need to get a plan, decide what kind of dad you want to be, and then be that dad. And it comes to discipline, you know, to me, you have to have a plan. You don't come home, and when the kid does something bad, if you get mad, you don't discipline out of anger,
right.
You know, because if you do, you're going to, it's, we've all probably done it, believe me, we all, unless you guys are perfect, I don't know. But, you know, what we did was that we always used a rod, not a piece of rebar. No, we used a piece of wood. It was a piece of oak, and yes, it and it's nice and wide. It just left a little smart, didn't leave a mark. And we would have the kids stretch out so they can't put their hands back to get hurt, and just tell them this is why we're doing this. And we'd cool off before we did it, and then we would, you know, administer that. Because you, to me, you don't want to hit your kids with your hand, because your hands are for loving. Now, the way to test this, if you're around your kids, go like this and try to stretch. And if they duck, they're afraid of your hand. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you need to kind of maybe get a different plan, in my opinion. And, you know, we had it. And I don't know if I ever spanked my daughter. I don't know if she did it, but the boys definitely need spanked. And on one hand, I had Ethan's name written on it. And the other side, I had Caleb's name written on it. And, you know, and one of them said attitude adjustment. And the other one was something about, one of them was a teaser. He teased and get everybody riled up. So they just knew that's what was happening. And we didn't do it perfect all the time. But to me, that is something that you need to get a plan. Because if not, discipline, or putting out discipline out of anger, is a dangerous thing. You can really do a lot of damage to your kids if you do it that way. Did they have any share on discipline before we move on?
Well, I thought Steve made a good point. Yep. I thought Steve made a good point about not knowing what sin was if they don't know. And that's kind of where we're at today, is we're getting to this happiness theme of where everyone's got to be happy. Mm. Well, happiness is not the key. It's actually righteousness.
Yeah,
and we're doing what is right in God's eyes. If it, if we live by happiness, well, I'm sure murderers probably feel happy when they murder someone.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, that's not righteous in God's eyes, and so showing them what is righteous, going through the Ten Commandments with them, going through biblical lessons, and teaching them in the moment where they make a mistake. Yes. You may think that, hey, you know, talking back was happy in that situation, but it's not right. It's not righteous. Got to obey your mom, dad. So deciding and coming up with a plan of discipline before doing it, but also teaching them what is righteous compared to just being happy.
Amen. And something, I'm just going to throw this out as another thing that I found out. Especially some parents use this on little kids. In my opinion, don't tell a kid that you made God sad, because that's not a, you know, I think that sends a wrong message to a kid. If they feel they've failed God, I mean, that might be a little more than they can handle at that age. You know, just tell them we do this because it's right, and discipline them that way. But I would not bring God into that one. Mainly, they really ticked you off. To be honest, God could probably care less that they spilled the milk or something. You know what I mean? But, you know, so we got to be careful about that. The idea of not do as I say and not as I do, like hypocrisy, I think Steve started on that. Anybody have any insights on that, where you feel like that might help somebody to, you know, follow through? I know there's things that adults can do that kids can't do, but yet... I think sometimes we can be hypocritical when we tell a kid maybe not to gossip, and then the kids hear us gossiping around the table or something, or things like that.
You're right. It's just things we as parents, you know, we will do something stupid. And you don't do this, but I'm going to do it. And I won't say things I've done because it's my old past. But, it's past. But I just even like kids on cell phones, parents, you know, like, don't be on the cell phone, but we're on our cell phone nonstop. It's like we got to be careful. And it's... I don't know. Parenting is just hard, period. It is. But, try to walk the right way so your children see that. And, you know, even like certain movies, you know, I used to always begin, people say, well, you can't let your kid watch this. Now I kind of get it, because there are things that in certain movies that we as parents need to monitor before they watch those things. You know, how is it fair if you can sit and watch that stuff and then they can't? You know, we got to be the parent. I think a lot of times I messed up is I sometimes was trying to be their friend too.
Yeah.
That, and I still kind of struggle a little bit there.
because I want to be that friend. And you taught me before, you got to separate that, you know, and I've tried to really work hard at that. But, you know, there's a place to be their friend, and then you got to be the parent. And sometimes that's hard because it's just easy. If we're friends, it's easy, right? But parenting, sometimes I do got to draw that line and got to make the decision on the discipline, you know. And
so you were the kind of cool dad. So being a cool dad's overrated, is what you're saying, or what?
I just, there's some things maybe you might be right.
Well, I think it's hard because sometimes with husband and wife both working, they both come home tired and they don't want to make that hard call because it takes a little bit of effort to discipline a kid or, you know, maybe sit there. I remember sitting with one of my kids for 5 hours, getting them to eat something. You know, I won, but it wasn't worth it. I mean, you know, right. In the long run. I mean, it was a long Saturday afternoon. I mean, sitting there at that table. But anyway, I don't know.
You are right, Pastor, too. I think it's, you know, we're sitting here as fathers, but the parenting is where, you know, we both got to be on the same page. And she'd work day, or I work day, she worked nights, you know, and our page, we weren't. So that plan you talk about, but parenting, you know, we can be fathers, but the mothers ain't, if we're not on agreement, it's really not going to work.
Because then you'll fall into that, like you're saying, being their friend, and that gets you into trouble.
Why don't, a rough day, I come home, and she's already been through something, so now I'm going to cheer them up, and I'm going to go do something, dad's cool, they'll come to me, you know.
What about the idea that says, well, your mom said you had to do this, but I'm not going to make you.
Happens?
Yeah, it does.
That happens all the time, right?
Well, Sarah told me to ask that.
Sarah said, yes, yeah. It's like, she said, what? Well, she said, did you? And they're already gone. Because I let them go do what they, so, no. Being a great father takes the great mother for the great team to come together for the whole work, you know.
Amen. That's good. You know, we all practice Christianity at church, but we really need to practice at home. And that should be our goal. Now, what are some spiritual habits that made you feel made the biggest impact on your children at home? I think Steve had some ideas on that.
The big joke around our house was I'd pray with our kids every night, pretty much before they went to bed. And every once in a while, Shelly'd come in there, and my daughter Sarah, who's our oldest, she'd be sleeping, but I'd be kneeled beside the bed with her sleeping. Also, I'd be. I'd fell asleep somewhere along the line, but hopefully she fell asleep first. But we definitely, we prayed together, and I never talked to them like they were children. And a lot of the movies and stuff we'd watch were Christian movies, and they really gave us a lot of understanding fast, because, you know, a lot of those movies give overview of a lot of great topics and books of the Bible and stuff, but we watched a lot of that stuff, and we prayed in depth, and we didn't do as many meditations as or Bible studies and stuff as we probably should have, but we definitely talked about the themes of the stories, the themes in the Bible of what God's like, and this is how he's relating to us through these books of the Bible and stuff. So definitely, I think you always hear about how important prayer is. Well, it's important, because I've seen so many great parents with kids that didn't really, weren't living for the Lord. I don't know if they were saved or not, but that's God's deal to deal with. But I've seen a lot of parents, probably better than myself, that had kids that were rebellious or hadn't received the Lord, or, you know, had fallen away from the Lord. So prayer, I mean,
amen.
Praying for your kids, praying for yourself as a father and as a mother to be able to show your kids who God really is and help them to get to know him.
Amen.
Raise your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, the Bible says. So I don't think that's even popular today.
Yeah.
When we talk about, you know, we should fear the Lord. I've witnessed to people and they said, well, I'm not going to worship a God that you have to fear. And I go, well, it's a godly reverence. It's like my father.
Yeah.
I loved him, but I guess I feared him too, right?
Exactly.
Because I know he had standards that we must adhere to in our family. So, you know, if you're not on God's side, you need to fear him.
That's
because
right.
He wants you on his side.
Amen.
He wants you to accept him. But that's kind of what I think.
That's good. I got a couple more things I want to get through here. I just looked up at the clock. How do you feel that the role of a father has been redefined in our society? You know, we're a protector and provider. But it seems like society has really turned against the fathers in a way.
And sure feels like it.
Yeah. So how do you feel it's done that, and what do you think we can do to change it?
It just feels like us men are getting watered down a little bit, and it eats at me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we are to be the provider. We're to be tough, you know, and I see a father as this manly, just going to take care of a situation, and I don't know, the world's changed, and it really breaks my heart, because there's things you try to mentor, as you know, I can mentor somebody else, you know, and try to help them out, but the world's changed in their views, and that starts with their roots, and but it's never too late. I tell my kids, you know, Austin 27, Reba's 29, I said, listen, your generation and generation below, I'm sick of saying it can't change. No, it can change, and it can start today. I call it stepping up. You got to step up and take a role. You got to step up and be a man. You got to be a father. You know, a little boy, a little girl out there. When you're coaching, it's time to mentor. You're a coach, right? I've been a coach. You've been a coach. Let me tell you something. Don't send a baby home, somebody's baby home, with a dagger in their heart.
That's right.
Because the father's got to pull it out. I don't care if they're good or not good to sport. They're out there for a reason. You love on those children. It's time for a step up and start loving children. And I'm sorry. Some people, well, I'm not here to babysit. Then don't coach. It's time to be real. See, we do a lot of playing. This is where I get excited. I really want to stand up. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the world saying you can't. No, we can. And the generation now can change. We can change. You're not too old. You're not too old. I'm not too old. You're not too young. When are we going to start the time? It's like a diet. I'm starting next week. So I'm going to eat anything I want this week, and next week I'm starting. No, you start now. So when we leave, we go out there, we share the good news, we share our testimony, and we all got a story. But guess what? We don't all want to listen. I'm one of them sometimes. I'm trying to get better. Stop, listen, and help. Right? So John 15:17, the command says, love one another. Love one another. Why can't we just love? I'm telling you, it's not that hard. But if you coach, you into youth pastors, your teacher, I mean, I tell you, I've had some of the best teachers and some awesome coaches, because I didn't have a dad in my life. And these men stepped up. They stepped up. My coach from Iowa Lakes, Coach Brown, changed my life. He says, you can. When people told me I can't, you can. That's a man. And I respect that man.
And they need to hear that from a man.
Guarantee it.
Yep.
And I get intense, but anyway. No, I just think it's time. It's time. Don't wait. Don't worry about the stupid social media. Don't worry about the news telling you, men, you can't be men. You can't talk to. No, you don't disrespect a lady. Never have. We've always been trained. You don't hit a lady. You don't do that. You don't disrespect. You do that to my wife, we're going to have a problem. And I don't care where it's at. Men, step up and take care of your families. Just do it.
Sorry.
Anything you want to add, Christian?
All right.
Tough act to follow,
no,
any?
Yeah.
here's something I want to throw out, too. You know, dad's a protector, and mom, too. But today's Father's Day, so we're talking about dads. Kids are going to have problems in life, you know, as you watch your kids grow up. Now, sometimes, you know, do we try to coach them through the problem so they can learn how to solve it themselves? Or do we hop in and try to solve the problem for them? And I think we make the mistake a lot of times of being afraid to let our children fail. I mean, I'm not talking about big things, but I'm saying kids will learn a lot in their life from failing and not being able to win all the time or whatever the case may be. Do you feel that's a problem in our families? I know it's hard to do. Have you ever had to deal with that?
No, I think we all have. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, just, you know, they call it the helicopter mom, helicopter dad, you know.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged, been there, you know. We don't want to see our our children go through hardship, you know, and then, like I say, not having a father in my life, I think sometimes that enabled me to want to go in even more to try to pull them out of the trouble,
right.
You know, and then I got to, you know, to know the Lord, and then I realized sometimes you get to say to them, you know, sometimes you just got to fight your battle. You got to, you know, if you're in trouble, you're in trouble. You got to deal with it instead of trying to save them every time. But it took me a while to learn that.
Because when they get to be 18 or whenever they want to move out,
yes,
they're not prepared for society.
Yes.
They don't know how to do critical thinking and all these different things and try to solve the problems that they're going to run against.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a, I think dads, that's an important thing that we need to step up and start doing. I have one more statistic I want to read here as we close, and just the importance of being a father, because some say that we view God, our Heavenly Father, like our relationship with our earthly father. I believe there is a little bit of truth with that, you know, because if our dad on earth is not approachable or things like this, I think it can, you know, come over into our relationship with God. It can get healed, but I think that's something we need to be aware of. Here's some quick statistics that I found on the internet. It said 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home, and that's by the Texas Department of Corrections. 39% of students in the United States from first to grade to senior in high school who do not have a father, don't have a father in the home. And children without a father are four times more likely to live in poverty than children who live with a father. 24.7 million children in the United States live in a home where their biological father is not present. This equates to one in every three children in the United States do not have access to their father. And that 72% of Americans believe that a fatherless home is the most significant social problem and family problem that is facing our country today. And 63% of youth suicides involve a child who is living in a fatherless home when they made that final decision. So there's a lot of things talking about the importance of that fatherly role. You know, being a man and being able to speak, you know, into their life. And I think even today, even though a father is in the home, there's a lot of fathers who are absent. They don't take a role in raising their children. They kind of either delegate it to their wife or whatever the case may be. I mean, some people believe that it's the church's responsibility to train children to be spiritual. I mean, don't raise your hand right now, but I'm sure people in this room maybe even feel that way. Some people think if they send them to a Christian school, that ought to cover it. I mean, they're paying all this money. But really, the Bible talks about it's in the home that the children need to be trained in the things of God. And that's how important it is that we take that role and that responsibility. Just like, you know, Brother Jimmy shared when he finally got those words out of his dad, I love you.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You know, those things that bring that affirmation to a child's life. Mothers are great. I mean, they're great nurturers and things like that, but there's just certain things that men have to do to formulate certain things in a kid's life, and
yes.
And we need to be responsible,
yes.
And be able to want to do that so they get that. So what I feel is that the father helps bring a blessing to the kid's life and identity. I think fathers need to reaffirm their child's identity. You know, and important it is, you know, that they're a beautiful girl or they're a handsome son or whatever the case may be. And they need to hear them words come out of their father's life. I mean, in the Old Testament, you see they would lay hands on their children and bless them.
Yes.
And we need to bless our children. It gives them acceptance, because I've counseled, I don't know how many people who have resentment in their life because they never had acceptance from either their father or maybe their mother. And feeling that rejection. So that positive affirmation is very important. Does anybody have any closing thoughts, or each of you want to share a little thing you want to?
I got some real quick. So
okay.
My point of view is, as a Christian, I don't want my kids just to be saved. I want them to be powerhouses for the Lord.
Amen.
So what's that look like? So I could really tell my oldest son at an early age, he's probably 5 years old, he was really being called by God to be a pastor that early in his life. And there was a lot of pull in a lot of different directions, and there's actually probably a negative connotation on, hey, you could do this or you could do that. You could do a lot of things. You're not going to make enough money as a pastor. And as a father, I really encourage my son. I go, if God is calling you, this is the most prestigious job you could ever have. This is the most important job you could ever have. And he actually followed that path. And he was actually a pastor at our home church in Bettendorf for 7 years, and then God called him into the military, and he's a chaplain there now. But we don't want our kids just to be saved. That's just the starting point.
Amen.
We want them to be aggressive for the Lord. And I think as fathers, that's important. The father can really help that along or encourage that or whatever with their child, because there's going to be a lot of other forces trying to pull them in other directions, and money's one of them.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you can make a lot more money doing this. Why would you want to do that? But I know for a fact that God is using him and honoring him for making that choice.
Yeah.
And he's in the military. I don't know if you guys realize, but the military is actually has a lot of great things established for the church, for Christians in there, and he can do a lot of great things. There's some negatives, of course, but our founding fathers and the way our country is set up, he can do great things for the Lord, and he is there. And those young men that are there putting their lives on the line, they need to be saved. That's
Amen.
The first step for them, but then they can be warriors for the Lord too.
Amen.
But plant seeds at an early age. Don't wait. Those
right.
God
yeah.
puts that desire in their heart at a very early age a lot of times. You kind of look at your kid and the things he likes to do and those kind of things, and you know pretty early what he's probably going to be gifted at.
Yeah.
And if you see that, you need to encourage it and help, you know, help establish a path for him and have him do what God wants him to do, not what you want him to do. So many times it's like, hey, I want my kid to do this, right? No, you need to do what God's created him to do. That, and that's hard to do sometimes.
Yep.
But that's kind of what I was thinking.
Amen. Anybody else?
And I would put on there, Steve talked about the fear of God. And the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge. Well, to have the fear of the God is knowing, hey, don't fear him that could kill you and put you to the grave, but fear him that can kill you and then after, right? So having the fear of God instilled into the kids when they're a young age, and if you read the statistic, 85% of fatherless households are saved or aren't mm-hmm. saved, right? Well, you erase the save part, say 85% of the kids that aren't raised with the father going to church are going to be burning in hell, because that's what it is if they're not saved, they are going to be burning in hell. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Right? Once they understand that, they start to get on fire for God, and they start becoming powerhouses for God. But until they understand that fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom and all understanding, they just are left in their own, unfortunately, hopeless world, because at the end of the day, what is there without God?
That's right.
So if it's not us preaching it to them, where are they going to hear it at? They're not going to hear it at school. Unfortunately, we got great teachers, but they're limited to what they can do, and they ain't going to hear it when they go to college, because you got colleges right now are hounding down the part of God is not real.
Yeah.
That we're just evolution. Byproducts of just random chances. So, if
no
you live in that,
people, no
if you
pressure.
Live in that world, you're living in a world without reality.
Yeah,
it's only through God. He's the one thing that's never changing, never wavering, like Brian was saying. So,
amen.
It's our job.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I just want to thank Pastor for inviting us
amen.
And. The opportunity to share our stories of being a father. And I just pray for each and every one of you out there that maybe you heard something that can help you out. And I just want to thank all the teachers in my life that inspired me My coaches had inspired me. My mom was an awesome mom, still is, and raising us boys. Thank you for that, Mom. And I just want to thank God for the miracle that I got to witness, the salvation of my father. And I will meet him again. And I just can't thank God enough on this Father's Day. What a wonderful father we have, all of us have. And this personal, guys. You know, I heard a song, My Jesus. What is my Jesus? It's your Jesus. Take it personal. It is our Jesus. And don't let nobody tell you any different. And even when it gets hard out there, it's okay to get to your knees and do some praying. It's okay to say you're sorry. You can say, I love you. And just be kind to be nice to one another. And I guarantee you, just one at a time. Just change one at a time. I'm telling you, one step. One small step, big results. I'm telling you. We can change it. It's not over. So once again, thank you. Thank you, everybody. We love you. And thank you, Pastor.
All right. We'll close in prayer. Amen. I want to thank the men here for being vulnerable and opening up to the world, because this is going all over the world. So no, I forgot to tell you that part. We record this online. But amen. Yeah, hopefully. Amen. Rich, anyway. So yeah. Anyway, Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share this fatherly advice. We pray, Lord, that everything that we say and do, Lord, just glorifies you.
Yes, Father.
Lord, we pray for men, especially on this day, that they step up to their role, a protector, provider, being able to lead and guide their families, especially in the things that are spiritual, not to delegate it out to others, but Lord, to assume that responsibility that I am a man of God.
Yes, Father.
And that is my responsibility to lead my family. And Lord, we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.